This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're off to the Helens. Our dear friend Fraser Howey, co-author of Red Capitalism, to comment on the braggadocio from China about its growth, at the same time headlines that are very clearly foreshadowing of trouble ahead. I go to London, Financial Times, right now. China is on the move for Golden Week, but our tourist spending, subhead tells the story, from Shanghai Disneyland to gambling hub Macau. Holiday travelers are wary about state of economy. Gordon, imagine that, being wary about the Chinese economy. Fraser, a very good day to you. Thank you. The consumer keeps the money in the pocket. Is that a problem for these growth numbers that China is magnifying right now, thanks to the World Bank? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Hello, Gordon. Well, I would have thought it's a problem. And certainly the World Bank has increased its forecast for China. And what is it, 4 to 4.8 or something? And you would think, hey, that should be a really good growth forecast. And in any other country, it would be. But as we know from long experience, decades experience now, that what actually is happening in the Chinese economy and what the GDP growth forecasts are can often be two very distinct things. Consumers are certainly very wary. They continue to be. And I think one statistic shows it very well is 1 in 7 young people can't find a job. I don't quite understand how you can square an economy that's allegedly booming where young people can't find jobs.
Gordon, you have a comment and question.
Fraser, another contradiction. We looked at the August price numbers. The CPI was down 0.4%. That was 5 out of 8 months this year. CPI has been negative. The producer price index measuring factory gate prices was down 2.9%. And that is the 35th straight month the PPI has been negative. China is in the grip of deflation. I guess it's theoretically possible for a country to have robust growth and deflation at the same time. But do you think that that actually is the case in China?
Well, the numbers would sort of show that. But then to talk about what robust growth means when you have such deflation and you have such lack of confidence. Once again, the terms we apply, and so the economic terms that we use to describe, you know, regular countries, normal countries, Western democracies or whatever, don't seem to apply when it comes to China. And once again, by focusing on this GDP number, which for decades we have all been, the advice to the government has been, get rid of this fixation simply on GDP growth. Because frankly, in a command economy like China's, you can manufacture almost any GDP growth you want. And they've done that through a huge amount of debt and waste in the economy, but they can do stuff. Yet at the same time, how on earth you can have producer prices falling for basically 3 straight years, consumer prices continually being weak, retail sales being well below GDP. China is a land of contradictions when it comes to economic numbers. And if we're not clear about how this all holds together, to be honest, I'm certain that Xi Jinping doesn't understand it either.
I go to a report recently about arrival of container ships on the west coast of the United States, Port of Los Angeles, etc. Sharply down, I don't remember the number, but it's big, from year over year, arriving from Asia. And inside those container ships, sharply down number of containers. We can presume some of it's coming from Southeast Asia. We can presume some of it's coming from Japan. But at this time of year, it's not about Christmas, I'm told. It's about inputs that we need for our economy to grow. So not limiting this question just to China, China's numbers of container ships is down. That has to be a blow to growth. Our intake of their inputs is down. Is that a wave that's going to sweep across the country? Is that the tariffs? Is that the recession? Can we tell, Fraser?
Well, I think what has been sort of downplayed, and there's a danger of us often looking at, we become sort of immune to Trump being Trump, as it were, when it comes to tariffs, etc. His actions since he became president and his tariff plans, policies, flip-flops, whatever you want to call them, will continue to roil markets and real businesses for a long time. I think actually it's the markets can absorb this to some extent, but it's real businesses that make, which really have difficulty planning for this. How do you plan for anything when you have you have a much longer timeline of developing factories or buying in goods or making production, forecast estimates and demands for inputs 6 months out, 9 months out, 1 year out. And I think this is all part of the ongoing turmoil because of the changing tariff scenario. Okay, so it's not just and also, if nothing else, even if the tariff scenario was to settle down, remember, the US is now operating at simply a much higher tariff level than it used to. OK, so that's friction in the global trade system. So that's certainly going to mean in the short term, the immediate term, you're going to be buying less things. Or if you buy them, the costs are going to go up. Therefore, people may not be as reluctant or as prepared to buy them. So there's all sorts of knock on effects. And I think it's a very complicated system. And I think it's very difficult to model that and understand how that fully plays out, because there are so many different actors there. So I think it's more to do with it's very much to do with the tariff sort of system and the fact that all the rules that people have been used to have been upended in the past 9 months or so.
Fraser, just a follow-up. Excuse me, Gordon. Doesn't fewer container ships mean a lack of growth? How can that feed growth? I'm asking again because you've made it very clear the GDP number is untrustworthy.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It should. Again, you would have thought any time there's fewer ships or fewer inputs, that's clearly going to limit growth. I think what's also got to be asked, of course, is that, again, what period is this over? Because part of what the tariffs has done is there has been a rush to do certain things and then they've fallen back. So it's over what period? But what we do know is that because of the tariff, because of this grit in the system, as it were, that's going to cause extra friction and extra cost. And it's very difficult to see how that produces any sort of uptick in growth,
Gordon,
especially in the short term.
You have a question, Gordon.
Fraser, on the 20th of this month, the Communist Party Central Committee will hold its fourth plenum. We expect the party to unveil measures to stimulate the economy. And we also expect to see the outlines of the 15th five-year plan, which start next year. What do you think is going to happen at the fourth plenum?
Look, I think it's, as always with these things, it's keep expectations in check. Okay. This is part of, this is how the Communist Party operates. This is part of the ritual performance. This is how documents get produced. And this allows directives to come down from the top to the lower levels. It can give focus to local mayors and what to support, what not to support. But again, we have passed so many events or meetings of the Communist Party where some sort of economic rabbit was to be pulled out of a hat to boost growth or something. They simply can't do it. You know, there might be certain measures that they'll try and do. They might try and, try and encourage private companies, more private investment. They may try and talk about less waste or focusing on EVs or quantum computing or AI or whatever it is. But the entire system in China is, the economics reflects the politics. And the politics is one of centralization and control and state direction. And that isn't changing anytime soon. In fact, it's not changing at all under Xi Jinping. So we're going to continue to have, a problematic growth. We're going to have high unemployment. We're going to have tremendous waste in the economy.
Does the World Bank know this? We have 30 seconds. Do they know when they put this number out that it represents nothing but braggadocio?
To some extent, I think they're never going to come out publicly and really be particularly negative about China. But remember, these people, they have models, they have inputs, they put the inputs into the model, they turn the handle and outspit some numbers. And that's what their report produces. That's what they do. They do it for all the other countries. They're doing it for China as well. But it's the classic rubbish in, rubbish out.
Gordon, Fraser Gordon, he's in the Highlands. He's the co-author of Red Capitalism, Gordon Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.